welcome to Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill, a show where we rewind relationships in popular media to break down behaviors that often pass as normal but are actually displaying unhealthy ideas of what relationships should even look like. I'm your host, Allie Williamson, she, her pronouns, the Director of Prevention and Youth Services at Next Step Domestic Violence Project. Today, I am thrilled to introduce not only our guest, but also our newest youth educator and Relationship Rewind co-host, Jazz Bradley, she, her pronouns. Jazz is joining us for her first episode, bringing fresh insights and perspectives as she dives into this month's featured film, The Kindness of Strangers. If you haven't seen it, The Kindness of Strangers tells the intertwined stories of people facing crises and challenges in New York City. Each person is struggling in their own ways, but are connected by unexpected acts of kindness. In the center is Clara, a mother who has fled an abusive relationship to protect herself and her children. The purpose of the show is to look at relationships in media to recognize behaviors that might look normal or even romantic, but can actually reinforce unhealthy power dynamics. We aren't here to judge these movies and shows, but to use them as tools to spark conversations and share our own perspectives. After all, the examples we see in media are a huge part of how we learn about relationships, sometimes without even realizing it. Each month, we invite a young person in Maine to choose a movie or show that has made them think about relationships differently. Together, we explore what they saw, how it impacted them, and where they see connections to real-life relationship dynamics. Our guest today has chosen The Kindness of Strangers to discuss. This conversation may bring up a range of emotions, as we will be getting into some sensitive topics and spoilers of the movie. If you're seeking support, feel free to reach out to us at Next Step Domestic Violence Project by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579. If you'd like to be connected with resources but aren't sure who to call, dial 211 for help. So without further ado, let's get into it. Jazz, welcome to Relationship Rewind. Let's talk about The Kindness of Strangers. Our show is all about breaking down some of the relationships that are shown in media where actions between partners are not super healthy, but it's being shown in ways that might make those behaviors kind of seem normal or even romantic and ideal. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with this growing up and just watching like shows and movies where this is happening?
Sure. Throughout, you know, my life watching Grease and movies like Grease, or even the movie that we'll be talking about today, you don't notice the impact of unhealthy relationships until you might have experienced your own unhealthy relationship. And I can relate on that level through a lot of different things, either because of my own experiences or because of friends I might know, or even because of now being in the work I've been in for the last few years.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Being a teenager that experienced an unhealthy relationship with someone, I didn't know it was unhealthy until years later because of the work I do now. And learning about the power and control wheel really helped me identify why the relationship wasn't healthy. A lot of the emotional abuse that I was experiencing, and then relating back to, you know, the movies that you watch or shows you watch about the guy being, you know, mean to you in the beginning of the relationship, to see how that's okay because, oh, they just like you. When a boy likes you, they're going to pick on you. You know, that dynamic that you learn and is ingrained into you when you're such a young child really shaped how my relationship with people was formed.
Thank you so much. And so today you wanted to talk about the movie The Kindness of Strangers. Can you talk about why you wanted to discuss this specific movie?
Yeah, so The Kindness of Strangers was a new movie for myself. It sounds like it's going to be a really nice movie, and parts of the movie are great. Other parts, not so much. This movie itself does depict a domestic violence relationship. I know that other movies on the show sometimes don't necessarily show it right outright, and it's kind of embedded within the themes of the movie. I will say that the main character of this movie, she is fleeing her husband, that's a law enforcement officer, and she is showing her journey through fleeing him and what that has looked like throughout just a few months of time. So it really shows a lot of different unhealthy behaviors and unhealthy themes within the show. It really shows how just because someone of power they shouldn't be abusing someone that doesn't have as much power as them. Because he is the husband, his name is Richard in the movie, because he is a law enforcement officer, he uses that against her a lot and says he has all these connections and that he's going to be able to find her easily. And she really has no one at first. She even goes to Richard's dad's house and asks his dad for help, and he's like, no, I can't get involved in this, you know, he's my son, I can't do that. And later on in the movie, unfortunately, the son ends up even assaulting his own father because of trying to get information about Clara. Clara is the mom who has fled from Richard with her two sons, and that's the first scene of the movie that I really wanted to talk about. And her and Richard are in bed. She wakes up and gets her two sons out of bed, and they quietly leave in their family car. And as an advocate working with survivors, I've heard similar stories to this. So I think that idea and that scene is relatively true and does happen quite often. But it just shows how he has such a hold over their relationship that she is trying to quietly leave, not wake him up, not make, you know, a sound so that she can get out of there as safely as possible. And so that's when she starts her journey and leaves her for New York. They arrive in New York and her sons ask if they're on vacation. And she goes, yep, we're just visiting New York. And the rest of the movie is really depicting their time in New York and what they see, because they've never been really outside of their home because the father, Richard, has made them do that. And it just shows how isolated he made her feel. So when she gets to New York, she is very overwhelmed and doesn't know where to go, doesn't know what to do. They're staying in their car because she doesn't have the money. And it just shows, again, the dynamics in their relationship, that when they first started being together, she might not have had a lot of ideas about what the world was like. And later on in the movie, she does talk to her son about meeting her husband and meeting his dad when she was a young teen. And that's how their relationship started, is that he was a young cop and she had a job where the woman or man thought she was stealing from them and she wasn't. And the owner called the cops and he was one of the cops that responded. And that's how their relationship started. So right even there, that dynamic between, again, a law enforcement officer and someone that quote unquote committed a crime, but didn't. And he kind of takes advantage of that and uses that against her. And that plays a huge role in how their relationship over time happened.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that part. I think that was one of the parts, because like you had mentioned, a little bit unique for our show is that in this movie specifically, like, it is very upfront that she is fleeing a domestic violence situation and mm-hmm. that the relationship she is in is dangerous and abusive. But that specific scene where she's talking about meeting him, and she seems so relieved to not have been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And it really came across to me in that moment that he was leveraging the fact that he could arrest her to get a date with her. And she is so young. She said she was like 17 or 18, right? And so he comes into the situation and he's, you know, the law enforcement officer who has the option to arrest her if, you know, he wanted to, but instead he uses it to kind of leverage a date. And I really viewed that as one of those things that it might be one of those things that you might not really realize in watching movies or TV shows that might have a similar situation to that, that somebody might be thinking that that's really romantic or something, that he's like saving her, but really that's leveraging your position of authority over somebody else and leveraging, you know, the power that you have in that situation to really take that person's choice away, because I'm betting she didn't really feel like she could say no to that date offer in that moment.
Exactly. I mean, the power dynamic right there is that he's a law enforcement officer and she's a civilian in this situation and has committed, like you said, the crime. And he did. He took that choice away from her to make it so like, oh, I can either say yes or no. But if I say no, obviously he's going to arrest me. But when she tells her son that, I thought that was a big piece of their dynamic as well, because a lot of the times in these relationships, you know, the mother or Clara in this situation, she's doing everything she can for her boys. And a lot of people might look at that as like, why would you tell your son that? And it's because, you know, the son has also gone through a lot of the abuse as well in this movie. And he had to do things that he didn't want to do. And she understands that. And Clara had talked to him about that as well. I mean, there's a scene of the movie where he even says, Dad made me hit you so many times and I didn't want to. And she understands because she knows that if she didn't let him, it would have been even worse for even the son. So there's just so many examples of her trying to keep the boys as young as possible so that they don't. And I say young as possible because they're still children. They're maybe 10 or 11 and younger, and they're having to go through such a hard trauma with her. And then she's not only having the trauma of that relationship between her and Richard, but the trauma of having to put her boys through this too. And it's not her putting her boys through this, it's, the father doing this. But she still is trying to figure out how to keep them as innocent as possible. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that's what survivors and abusive relationships are doing, even though it might not look like they're helping their children, they really are. And I wanted to mention that because, again, someone that sees, oh, well, he's a law enforcement officer. He should know. He should be doing something if his wife is doing these things. But it's like he has the power in this relationship and he's doing all of those things and more to her and the children at the same time.
Absolutely. And so can you talk a little bit about, maybe some of the examples that you noticed throughout the movie of those kind of unhealthy behaviors that, or dynamics that you had just been talking about, whether the movie making them seem normal or not? And how do you feel like those examples that you had kind of noticed and you had pulled out from the movie might impact somebody who's watching?
One thing that I notice is when Richard, the husband of Clara, finds them, he shows up to a Chinese restaurant and Clara and the boys had already eaten and had already had a meal. And it was like one of their first meals they had in New York City that wasn't something that she stole or she found out of a trash can. Again, she's doing everything she can for her sons, but this was like their first real meal that they had for quite a while. He shows up and has found her. And he's making it seem like, oh, this is my wife, to the waiter. This is my wife, and I want to treat her to a good meal. So he gets a menu and tries to make it look like everything's fine. And again, you can see that the sons aren't feeling great about this interaction because they know that mom's going to be in trouble. Even one of the sons asks to be excused to go to the bathroom. So he leaves the scene and goes to the bathroom. And then the younger son ends up vomiting because he's having such a physical reaction to his dad showing up because he knows dad's here. I might get hurt, mom might get hurt, or we have to leave and go back with dad. So then she asks again to be excused from the table to go wash him up. And she truly is leaving to go to the bathroom to wash him up. But this older son is like, mom, come here. And he finds a fire escape and they leave in a rush. And just that idea of like normalcy, like how that's normal for them. And how the older son is having to do that. And he's again, maybe 10 or 11. And but that idea that this film made it out to be like, this is a normal thing for people. And I think it definitely can be for some survivors that have experienced this. But that idea of that it shouldn't be normal. No child should have to go through that, or no child should have to vomit because of the trauma they've experienced just by having somebody show up in a public restaurant, too. Like, this was a restaurant, it was busy, there was all kinds of people around, and yet he still had so much power over the situation.
I definitely noticed that too, especially when that's like the first thing that the older son did as soon as he started showing up was trying to figure out how to get his mom and his brother away from him. And throughout the entire movie, both of the boys just asking and trying to get their mom to promise that they won't have to go back to that situation. You can tell that they have been experiencing it for so long in the movie that it does feel normal that that's the first reaction that he had was to find an escape route. And the first reaction that the younger boy had to seeing his dad is to get physically ill, and that it must have happened for so long for them that that is the first reaction that they're going to have in that situation. And so, how do you feel like people watching this movie might be impacted by watching these kind of strong scenes of seeing these young boys and this woman going through this kind of situation with this man?
I mean, I think a lot of the times, if someone again hasn't experienced a domestic relationship, they might be blaming Clara and, that shame and guilt around, well, she should do something better. She needs to take them out of the situation. And again, we can see the depicted throughout this movie. He has connections. He's a law enforcement officer, and he's really using that power to manipulate the situation and even to make other people think that she's the bad person. He's the good guy. There's a great scene that they go go to the hospital where the little boy ends up getting hypothermia because he walked out of one of the churches they were staying in. And so he gets to the hospital and one of the nurses, he's like, well, we're contacting his father so that he can be here. And they don't want to listen to Clara at all. Clara is really trying to say, no, you can't do that. It's not safe. Really projecting that fear. And they're not listening until Alice, a nurse, comes and she can see that there's more to this story. And that's when she talks to Clara and really finds out, okay, this is a domestic situation. We need to keep mom safe and her other son safe. And she promises Clara that she will watch over her other son while she goes somewhere safe to hide from the abusive father, which I think is really hard because that might be an unrealistic part of that situation because, you know, there's all these mandated reports that have to be done when you're in the hospital and protocols that they have to follow. And so that piece, I don't think was realistic. However, the piece of the other nurse maybe taking sides with, you know, dad and being a law enforcement officer, guarantee that happens more often than not. And that impact, again, where just because he's a law enforcement officer, he's being believed over Clara.
Yeah, like it automatically gives him this sense of credibility over Clara, even though she is literally begging for them to listen to them. And I think that I really liked that scene as well, because I think that it really shows that there are a lot of situations in people who are fleeing domestic violence lives that are totally out of their control mm-hmm. that they get blamed for. Like in that specific scene, they haven't had a good place to sleep really since their car got impounded. And this is winter. And so it's the first place that they've had to be able to really have a warm room to be in to sleep and to have an actual pull-out bed to be able to actually get a good night's sleep. And she obviously passed out. She's so exhausted from everything that she's been going through. I don't think that anyone in that situation would have expected the little boy to get stuck outside of the church or to even be outside of the church. Mm-hmm. And so it's not unreasonable for her to think that she was in an okay and a safe spot in that church, in that nurse's office, mm-hmm. to be able to just get a little bit of sleep. And when she goes to the hospital, you can see the look on the other actors in the scene's faces where they're portraying like this blame and this, how could you let him get hypothermia? Like, this is obviously your fault because you're his mom. So he shouldn't have experienced this, when she wouldn't even be in the situation at all if her husband hadn't been abusing her and the boys. But like you said, nobody's listening. He has automatic credibility because he has power in that situation. And I mean, even his ability to find them in this giant city because of the connections that he has to all of these different places because he's a law enforcement officer. And I really appreciate you bringing up that scene because I had the same exact thoughts of like, this is so far from her fault. And she is being like looked down on and blamed for what's happening right now. How do you think that watching that kind of scene might affect somebody who's seeing the movie?
Yeah, I think being affected for sure, because you're either thinking like, oh, yes, they need to go back to the dad, like the dad's stable. He has a house. He has all these things. He's a law enforcement officer. He's going to keep them safe. And then you have the piece of, you know, like you said, mom's trying everything she can right now. Clara is trying her best to keep her boys safe, to keep them warm, to keep them fed. I mean, she's finding resources she didn't have. She's made connections to people she didn't know. And she is trying to keep them safe. And to be entirely honest, she was keeping them safe. I mean, yes, the little boy got hypothermias in the hospital, wasn't doing well, but that wasn't her fault, like you said. Just that idea of she is using all the tools she has in her toolbox. I mean, she has no money. She has no car. She doesn't know anyone in New York other than the nurse that she met and another man named Jeff that works at the church. And those are the only people she knows right now. And those people are safe people. And they are the ones that are connecting her to even more resources and safer resources throughout the movie. But that reaction to that scene, again, it could be either you're siding with the nurse that's like, yep, we're calling the law, your husband, he's a law enforcement officer, he's going to take care of the situation. Or you're either really empathizing with Clara to say, yeah, she's doing everything she can right now. But I do think that reaction of blame, just seeing that for the first time, and if I didn't have any connection to domestic violence or advocacy, I would have been like, yeah, Claire's not doing what she needs to be doing. And that's not an okay thing to react to either. Like she should be being treated like a human and being empathized with, because she has been doing everything she can. And that's shown throughout the movie, even in the little instances of, you know, just holding her kids in the car. Even though they're in a car in the middle of winter, she's holding them. She's providing the safest place she can for them in New York City.
I think that that's such an important thing, because I feel like a lot of the shows and the movies that we talk about on this show, it's to talk about like some of the behaviors between people that are being normalized and made to look romantic. But in this movie, I really liked that we're talking about this one specifically today, because this movie showed a lot of different examples that I think a little bit of education around domestic violence and breaking down some of those myths around this big issue could really, really help empathize and really stop a lot of these violent situations before they have a chance to escalate even further. If she had been able to get connected to resources safely with people believing her and people actually listening and listening to the kids, she wouldn't have had to even take them to New York City. She would have been able to just get the help initially. But because it's set up in such a way that a lot of times the blame automatically goes on to that person who's experiencing that situation, this is the safest option that she had, was to take her kids to New York City in a car and to try to figure out how to live with no resources and no money and no support system. That was the safest thing she could do in that moment for herself and for her kids because of the situation she was in. And so I like this movie a lot, because if there's any education to be done around that, it's really around really breaking down the myths around who should be having the accountability in these situations and what kind of processes should be happening to help that person being impacted.
If you're just joining in, this is Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Allie Williamson, and today we have Jazz on to talk about the movie The Kindness of Strangers.
And so can you think of any other examples from the movie that you had noticed that you wanted to talk about today?
Yes, I'm going to take a different approach to this now and go later on in the movie. Clara meets a man named Mark, and Mark is a friend of Alice, the nurse that had helped Clara at the hospital and gave her the place to stay at the church for a little while. And Mark is a man that had been in prison for a while and recently had left prison and started to run a restaurant. And Clara and Mark have this relationship that starts off really strong very fast. And I just wanted to point out that although that relationship seems really healthy and really great, and they seem like they have this really great connection, the idea of that relationship started within a matter of her being in New York within a few months, almost to that point where, you know, they've both been experiencing traumas. Like, he was in prison, he was isolated for so long. And so he's still trying to figure out how to live a normal life again out of prison. And she's trying to live a normal life out of an unhealthy relationship. So that idea that their relationship is based off of trauma can really make it so that it looks like it's very romanticized. Although that's great that Clara found another person to be with, I just want to point out that that might not happen right away for all survivors. And it really, you know, she really probably should have taken a little bit more time to get to know Mark, because that's what happens. She ends up moving in to the apartment above the restaurant, and it's because he's trying to be a good guy. And at first they weren't necessarily dating or anything. He just wanted them to have a safe place to be after talking to the nurse and figuring out what her situation was. But then it does get romantic and they do become a couple. And just that idea again, that they've both experienced severe traumas and then get into this relationship so sudden, that's not often realistic.
No, yeah, I don't think it is often realistic. And I do think that it's a good thing to bring up, because in the movie, it definitely is framed as like a kind of saving grace for each other. And I mean, you know, we don't really know how it works out in the long term for them, because the movie ends with them finally getting into an actual official relationship after she gets all settled and her husband ends up going to prison himself. And, you know, we don't really know where that goes or where how that ends for them. But in the movie, she's in such a delicate situation where she is in that survival mode basically the entire time she's known Mark.
Yes.
And I mean, the whole title of the movie, The Kindness of Strangers, is about
all of these strangers coming together to try to help this woman to figure out how to keep her and her two kids safe. And so, you know, you could definitely look at it that way. But I do think that knowing that background context of that interest and that connection that Mark felt to her, it's definitely a delicate situation. It's definitely one to go into with caution. Again, like we were talking about, Clara is in such a situation that that was the safest option for her to go into. And that was the safest place for her to be. And it turned out well for her. Mark turned out to be a pretty good person and, you know, was respectful of her and everything. But it's definitely one of those situations that makes me a little uneasy for anybody who's maybe watching who doesn't have that kind of background information around what to look out for and what to be cautious about. Because even if you do have that background about what to look out for and what to be cautious about, you don't know how things are going to go. And so I also kind of viewed that as maybe not the most realistic situation. I think there were a lot of things in this movie that, you know, and just doing the work that we've been doing, a lot of it was really realistic. Mm-hmm. And then there were certain parts that felt a little bit like, I'm not sure if that's really how that would work or how that would play out. Mm-hmm. And so how do you think that seeing scenes like that or seeing storylines like that might impact somebody who's watching that movie?
I think, again, without having education or knowledge around what domestic violence is, you're going to romanticize this movie or even say, wow, these people are so nice and so great. But they all hold a different type of dynamic and power over Clara because they're not in that relationship with her. You know, she's fleeing her husband. And two, like her even getting into this new relationship with Mark, he has more power over her in situations of, you know, he has a job, he has a place to live. And even just starting the relationship off like that, I don't want to say that's a red flag. But just that idea of like, you know, is he taking advantage of her? I think he is made out to be a really good guy in this storyline. But just that idea of if you're rushing from having no resources to with a man that does have all these resources, could those dynamics even go further within that relationship? Could she be in the same situation she was in when she was within the relationship with Richard? Because that's how their relationship started. She was a young teen, didn't really have a lot of, you know, friends or family, got in trouble, and then moved right in with him, and they had a baby and got married. We don't know how that relationship works. So I think the impact of that could be really, wow, this is eye-opening. And this really shows me that, you know, people that experience domestic violence have so much stuff they have to go through and have to survive through. And they don't have time to think about all these other things. And just that idea that if they do know what domestic violence is, they're going to see and pick out a lot of the things that we've talked about today and really relate to those things, I think.
I'd like to thank Jazz for being our guest speaker this month and welcome her to the show as a co-host. You've been listening to us discuss The Kindness of Strangers on Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Allie Williamson, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 to 5, where we will be continuing this conversation and breaking down other relationships in popular media. You can also listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcasts at weru.org, on the WERU smartphone app, Spotify, and Apple Music. If you're a young person in Maine who's interested in being a guest speaker on the show, have ideas of media we could talk about, or you know of a young person who might be interested, visit the Relationship Rewind page on our website at nextstepdvproject.org/relationship-rewind.